March is one of the 2 months out of the year, along with September, when conditions are ideal to see the Aurora Borealis, a.k.a. the Northern Lights, which I never have. The Northern Lights are most common in the northernmost parts of the world, Canada, Sweden, Norway, Finland, Russia, and other countries in the north. Sometimes, if you time it right, you can see the beautiful night sky phenomenon right here in the Midwest. Our next guest is going to tell us how to maximize our chances. David Eicher is the editor-in-chief of Astronomy Magazine, the author of 26 books on science and history. Dave, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me. It's very nice to be back with you.
Can you tell us what causes the Northern Lights in the first place?
Well, you know, it's a fascinating thing. The sun, of course, is a giant nuclear reactor, and it's sending out waves of particles all the time that pass us by. When there are rich areas of very excited particles, electrons and other high-energy particles that spiral down into Earth's magnetic field lines at the poles, the North and the South Pole, these particles really get energized. They get kicked up into a very excited state of energy, and they collide with oxygen and nitrogen molecules that are in our atmosphere. Anywhere generally from about 50 to about 400 miles up above the surface. And as they lose energy then after this, they kick off a photon, and that gives us this light display of greenish or sometimes even reddish or other colors light that we see in the night sky as the aurora.
Have you, I never have, as I mentioned, have you ever seen the Aurora Borealis?
I have. I've spent a lot of time under the stars. So I've seen quite a few auroral displays, and there was one actually at the end of the 1980s that was visible in Milwaukee that looked absolutely incredible. It was moving multicolors in real time. You could see it looked like sort of a Disney light show above your head. That was a very rare one. But even a run-of-the-mill aurora, if you will, it's really cool in the sky because most of the things in the universe are so far away that we see them as static, a single frame in a cosmic movie. But an aurora, you can actually see change its shape right in front of you over, you know, seconds and minutes. So it's really cool to see an aurora if you get the chance to see one.
Now, suppose you're an unlucky Midwesterner who's lived his whole life in the Midwest and never managed to spot one. What would such a person do to maximize their chances?
It's not a terrible place to be. Of course, there's a thing that's a ring around the poles about 10 to 20 degrees away from the magnetic poles called the auroral oval, and in the north and in the south. Generally, aurorae happen around that ring, if you will. And so there are certain places, Iceland, Norway, Alaska, that are great. They're right under the auroral oval. But here is not bad to see one in the upper Midwest if there's a bright one. So one thing you can do is to keep your eye on some websites that give real-time predictions of the activity of the sun. One of them, for example, is spaceweatherlive.com. If you want to go to the Space Weather Prediction Center of NOAA, the governmental agency, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, Space Weather Prediction Center, they have real-time predictions on when aurorae might be very active because of the sun's activity. And the main thing here in the Midwest is you want to get away from city lights so you have a reasonably dark sky away from the cities. That'll help you. And if you face to the north, and especially when we know the sun is active and it's getting more active over the coming years here, if you look about halfway up toward straight up and you're looking more or less toward the north, that's going to be where you want to look in the sky to see an aurora.
We've got a caller. Jeff in Barry Mills is with us. Jeff, hi.
Hi, I'm Rob. I just wanted to relate a couple events. I remember one, and I'm 70 years old. I remember one in the 50s when I was still real young, that the sky was just like it was on fire. And another one happened, I think, sometime in the mid to late 70s. And you could see the Northern Lights from where I was north of La Crosse right up until the sun washed them out in the morning. And they were so bright. And I just wondered if that fell in the 11-year cycle, you know, that they talk about.
Jeff, I know where Barry Mills is. Maybe I'll go there next time I want to try to see the lights. Sounds like you've got good luck. David, that 11-year cycle, could those ones Jeff have seen in the 50s and 70s been part of that?
Absolutely, yes. And at any time, we can get a bit of a burst of activity from the sun. But of course, during the high point of that 11-year cycle of solar activity is the best time of all for action from the sun. Of course, we're actually coming up on that. The sun is getting more active now, and in 2026, it'll be at a maximum during that cycle. So the coming few years are going to be good. And when the sun is really active, it sounds like what our caller saw, there's a thing that is a belch of energy that's much bigger than it normally is always flowing out toward us that's called a coronal mass ejection. And that's what gives us a really bright aurora like the caller experience. So you can find out when a coronal mass ejection has just happened. Then about 2 days or so later, there's a very good chance for a great aurora in the sky.
And thanks for that call. David, I mentioned at the outset, March is supposed to be, I read somewhere, March is supposed to be a pretty good month to see the aurora borealis. Is that true?
Yeah, you know, it is a good month, and it's just, you know, the weather is getting warmer, and the axial tilt of Earth is favorable, and of course, it has to do more with the actual activity of the sun, which is not tied to a specific month, but it's generally a good season, and we, you know, have the opportunity to get out there and to look. So this is a good time, and again, I would stress, you know, listeners to go to those websites mm-hmm. that can give real predictions of when the sun is sending us a burst of energy.
Dave, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for sharing this with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
David Eicher is editor-in-chief of Astronomy Magazine, author of 26 books on science and history. He joined us to talk about how to maximize our chances of seeing the Northern Lights. One more tip. Make sure you're far away from me. Anytime I'm anywhere where I'm going to see cool night sky stuff, I guarantee heavy, heavy cloud cover. Don't be near me.